join before we get too far along.
Okay.
Okay, so welcome everyone to the Finance Committee meeting. This is the Finance Committee meeting number 7-23. It's Monday, June 26, 2023. It's 3 p.m. Mountain Time, 2 p.m. Pacific. This meeting is being held in Zoom and at the Water Center. First item of the agenda is introductions and attendance.
Okay, Madam Chair, you've got a quorum of the committee in attendance from the Finance Committee. You have yourself, Joanne Cole Hansen. You have Jeff Raybould, Mark Gibbs, and then other board members in attendance that are not on the committee are Brian Olmsted. And I just got a note from Dean Stevenson. He will be running just a few minutes late, but he will join as quickly as he can.
Okay, it looks like Dale just joined us.
Yes.
Brian, did you get me? I just came online.
Yep, just got you, Dale.
Okay.
And looks like Pat McMahon just joined the call as well.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you. Okay, so it looks like we'll have a full committee here shortly, but why don't we go ahead and get started. The first item on the first project on the agenda, this is our, by the way, this is our final Finance Committee meeting, reviewing the projects that are on the regional sustainability list. And if we could limit the presentations to 30 minutes. I'm not sure if, Tom, if you're doing all three of them, if you plan to separate them.
Yes. We can certainly be done in 30 minutes. And Jeff Barnes, I'm going to start it off, and Jeff Barnes will help me out. And so we can start whenever you're ready.
I think we're ready. Why don't you go ahead and take it over?
All right. So go ahead and share your PowerPoint, Jeff. And so I really appreciate the board and giving us the opportunity to present these projects of regional significance. We've been following the board and some of your meetings here over the past year. I really enjoyed getting to know some of you and also watching how the board operates. And I think this is really great on the transparency of this process and allowing others to submit projects. You got, sure, you'll have some hard decisions. There's a lot of needs across the state. And, as I said, we've been watching some of your board meetings. We see water issues all across the state. So what we're really trying to do is just be proactive, because we know that as we continue to grow, we need to be good stewards of the water. And so NAMPA has done quite a bit of work on that here in the past 2 years. During that last drought, we were getting worried about surface water and the Boise River Basin. So we formed a drought task force, which I'll talk a little bit about in this presentation. So so I'm the Senior Public Works Director, and then Jeff Barnes, he's our Director of Water Resources. So go ahead and go to the next slide, Jeff. So we're going to introduce some basic topics on conservation. And then we'll get into the project specifics, which is our pipeline, system improvements to Pioneer, which is actually needed as part of the reuse program. And then the Copper River Irrigation Project is another one. And then at that summary, we'll summarize what we are requesting from the board. Next one. So like I said, we've been doing a lot of work in water in the past couple of years. We're going to have the largest water recycling facility in the state, where we're going to be able to recycle our wastewater to Class A and put 100% of it into the Phyllis Canal during the irrigation season. So for 4 months of the year, we'll be recycling 100% of it. There's also some water quality components to this, but it really gives us this reuse project gives us some drought resiliency and additional storage that can stay up in the reservoir. Go ahead, Jeff. So that was what we've been up to. I did email out our landscaping guidelines to you and also our Public Works magazine, get an idea of what we do in Public Works. The water-wise landscape is a non-infrastructure project. These infrastructure projects, as you all know, are super, super expensive. So what we're trying to do is, yes, we need to do some engineering projects and find a way to fund them. But on the other side, we can do some things that cost a lot less money to try to get some information out to the customers on irrigation practices. So during our drought task force, which is now the conservation task force, we met a lot of people that wanted to help us out. So they included a local company that does landscaping, Josh Zamzos. And then he gave us a lot of good information about water audits and how much to put down on your lawn, how not to water, overwater. And then we've got some good information on different types of plantings on the sod and on the plants themselves that take a lot less water. So we're trying to get the word out to the customers that you could still have a green lawn if you just water your lawn a little differently. And so that's been a good project for us. We have seen on the operations end, some of our operators are saying this message seems to be getting through to some. So we're going to continue this every year and try to do our part to try to have some water conservation. And why we're focused on this is that the surface water, we'd like to use that first, and we embrace that strategy. We noticed there was an Idaho code change this last year that emphasized that, and we are definitely on board with that. Because we want to maintain and protect our aquifer for drinking. And so, and then we know also through our task force, we did a lot of calculations on how much water do you actually use during irrigation season. And just in that 4 month irrigation season that we're using irrigation water, we're using more water during that 4 month period than an entire year of domestic use for our city. So, that over 36,000 customers hooked into the domestic system, we're using more in irrigation than just a 4 month period. So that's why it's so important to use when we're talking to irrigation, it's massive amounts of water. If we keep using that, our ground water for irrigation, that's eventually going to get us in a depletion mode. So we want to try to avoid that. And another thing too, our task force on our conservation, we have three irrigation districts inside our impact area, Pioneer, Nampa Meridian, and Boise Cuna. And we've developed some really strong relationships with them and partnerships, which you'll see in some of these projects that we've come up with, because we want to do some engineering that, because we know one thing about being a city, it's difficult on an irrigation district as you become more urbanized. Jeff and I were just at the Idaho Water Law Conference, and we totally keyed in on that urbanization causes some issues for irrigation districts. They weren't really built to serve a city. They were built to serve farmland. And the farmland and the city have much, much different needs. Even though the water usage is about the same, it's the peak demand that's the real problem. So if everybody at night is turning their sprinkler on at once, the demand is five times what it is during the day when everyone has it off. So, but the irrigation district has to turn the valve on the river for that peak demand and just leave it there, because they can't be going back and forth and changing it all for us. So there's a lot of water that it gets reused downstream, but it's also water, if we can optimize our system, we can keep in the reservoirs longer. So we recognize the difficulty that an irrigation district has with a city, and we're trying to come up with solutions. The next slide. So this is just a quick summary of all the facilities we have. We are the largest full service city in Idaho. So if you take Boise, for example, they've got a private company that runs their water system. And then Meridian, they don't have an irrigation system. They do have wastewater and water, but they don't have transportation. So we're a pretty diverse city. You see we have a domestic water system, a pressurized irrigation system, a wastewater utility, and stormwater. And the pressure irrigation utility is something we're real proud of. It's been, we're actually a municipal irrigation district that we formed back in the 1940s. And we've pressurized our entire system, and it's all looped together. So it's a big regional station. It's quite unique for Idaho. I don't know of in too many other cities that have something like we do. And you can see we got lots of infrastructure, lots of miles of pipe, and we continue to grow. So we're just looking for solutions to be for conservation as we move forward. Okay, next slide, Jeff. Okay, so I'll just again want to thank you for your time. You're going to hear from Jeff now about the project specifics, and I will stand for any questions at any time during this presentation. So thank you.
Are there any questions from the committee?
All right, thank you. Yeah, thank you, board members. Again, my name is Jeff Barnes. I'm the director of water resources here in Nampa, and I'll be going through the three projects. Certainly, if there is questions along the way, interrupt me. I'll kind of leave some gaps in between each three. We want to just thank you, Mayor, City Council, and our staff for your consideration of these projects, and we appreciate your time. So with that, we're going to start on the first project, which is our wastewater treatment plant reuse pipeline. So it's part of a larger project of $180 million. You're looking at that picture is our wastewater treatment plant, handles 11 to 12 million gallons a day now, and then this is sized for 21 to 24 at a peak, million gallons a day in the future. The reuse pipeline, the facility is in the treatment portion of it, is 71 million of the 180 million. So high dollar value to treat water to these class A standards we'll talk about a little bit more. So this project is set to be completed by fiscal year 2025. So a little bit about the pipeline. This pipeline extends out of what we call our clean water facility, and it is a 4-foot poly pipe that's going to extend from this clean water system at the end of the treatment process. It's going to run around the plant. We're going to push it under the UPRR railroad lines and run it through Ed Meyer parking lot to the Phyllis Canal, where we're building an outfall. And that picture on top there is the alignment of the pipeline, about a mile. And then the outfall structure, it's going to be a little bit different than what's shown there. That was the original outfall. It's going to be a little bit more natural looking with landscaping now. But again, that's where in the summer months, we will be discharging our treated Class A reuse water to the Phyllis Canal. In the winter months, we will continue as we do now to discharge to the Indian Creek pipeline. There's also, we'll talk about an options in the system, the way it's designed to add an industrial reuse capacity. Instead of pushing all of this line to Phyllis Canal, we can eventually in the future push it in and serve we can industrial customers. Just a little bit about Class A. So it can serve parks, playgrounds, golf courses, edible food crops, landscaping, highway medians, cemetery grounds, orchards, and vineyards. So the cost that we put in to treat the water to this level, we have a very beneficial product when it is finished with the treatment process. And again, stop me along the way if you have any questions. Again, I'll stop at the end of this section if you have any specifically also. Okay, again, at the Nampa Reuse Pipeline, the process itself, so with our permit after 2026, our phosphorus temperature requirements increase. And so this project, what it will do is in the summer months when our phosphorus requirements are high, we'll be pumping to the Phyllis Canal, which we will be able to have a lower requirement, which will save the city resources and will provide a beneficial use for our citizens and agriculture downstream. So again, during the winter months, we will continue to discharge to Indian Creek. And then in the summer months, starting in 25, we will push water through the 4-foot pipeline to the Phyllis Canal, and that will be 11 million gallons per day, will be used by the citizens of Napa before it even leaves the city limits and heads towards Caldwell. This is 5,000 acre feet per year, and this is equal to the acre feet that we requested to be, considered for as part of the Anderson Ranch dam route. So this is a significant reuse project for the city of Napa. Oh, and one other thing, we'll provide 15% of the total irrigation demand for the city. So it gives you an idea of just how beneficial this project is to the city. Funding sources for this project, $165 million we received revolving fund. We went out to a bond vote several years ago. The $12 million we've shown there is part of our enterprise rate increases, although we still have two of those rate increases remaining. I'll go into that a little bit more, and that's really focuses on the need for the money is our rate and our pressure on our taxpayers. And then we got a Bureau of Reclamation Water Smart grant for $3 million. So when we originally started planning for the overall project, we have 5 years of 16.75% increases for citizens, and then a year of 8%, and to pay back the $165 million bond and pay for the remainder of the project. But if you see, and it's kind of hard to read here, but this is a comparison of how Napa's rates compared to other cities in the region. And Greenleaf is at the top, and that's because smaller cities are really impacted. As you know, they have to put in expensive wastewater infrastructure and have a lower population, so that is spread out among less people, and they are the highest at $89 per month. But Napa, if we finish off our proposal and with those two remaining 16.75 increase and that 8% increase, we'll be at $59, almost $60 per household per month, which puts us relatively high in the region. But again, I think we are ahead of the game and that a lot of these improvements that we're proposing are needed. But it gives you an idea of when we're requesting the funding, we really want it to focus on relieving the rate increases on our taxpayers. The project funding needs. So they're out of the total overall project, the recycled pipeline allowance portion originally was estimated at $20 million. $458,000, as you see that middle column. That is increased by $4.286 million. And that was a result of we just didn't have an accurate estimate at the time. COVID was a pre-COVID estimate. And so now we are, for the entire budget for the project, we're $4.286 million over that original estimation. And so as we're putting out a number just for consideration for the board, but we are requesting $3 million from the board to bridge the funding deficit for this particular project, and that will help make up for our cost overruns to this point. With that, I'll stand for any questions on the recycled or the reused project portion of this to the board members.
Okay. I do have a question off the top of my head. The $3 million request from the Water Resources Board, is that a one-time only request? Because in your previous slide, you alluded to it being to help out with the ratepayers.
It's a one-time request, yes. So what Jeff was trying to get at is if we get $3 million, maybe we don't need to ask for 16.75 and 8%. Maybe we ask for only 6% at the end of the project. So, but the $3 million would be a one time.
Okay. Board Member Olmstead, do you have a question?
Madam Chair, yes, and Jeff, so for the Phyllis Canal, they need kind of a reliable source. Do you meter it back to them, even though you have, you know, widely variable probably amounts coming out of your treatment plant? So you store it and then deliver it to them at a pretty constant rate?
Yes, Board Member Olmstead. So we have had discussions with Pioneer because we will have some irregular flows during a 24-hour period. And so we've been working, we meet with Pioneer Irrigation every month and talk about the project. There may be some system improvements along Pioneer, in addition to everything we're talking about today, to kind of ease the pressure on those fluctuations. But right now they think they can take the flow amounts, even though they fluctuate over that 24-hour period, and still work with it.
Okay, good. And just a quick follow-up. So when you discharge to Indian Creek, you probably have a real strict phosphorus requirement. Discharging to the Pioneer system, does that go away, or do you still have to remove a lot of phosphorus?
So when we get the new phosphorus limits in Indian Creek will be at 0.15 milligrams per liter. We will have to meet a 0.35 milligrams per liter phosphorus in the Phyllis Canal. So we'll still have to meet that standard. It's just not as low as what Indian Creek is.
Okay, thank you. That's very good. So you've mentioned both Phyllis and Pioneer. Are they the same?
Yes, correct. So okay. Phyllis Canal is maintained by Pioneer Irrigation District.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Board Member Barker.
This is a little different type of project than much of what we've seen in the past. And so I was hoping that perhaps NAPA could, whichever of you want to address this, explain how they view this project as fitting in with the sustainability goals of the board's funding program. And I'm not challenging it. I'm just asking, since this is different than a lot of what we've seen, it'd be helpful to understand how you all think it fits.
So I can take it, Jeff. So the demand on the irrigation system, it takes a lot of surface water to keep it running. And so being able to divert 5,000 acre feet in an area where it can be directly put into the pressurized irrigation system helps NAPA, but also helps the region, because it gives some options to keep that 5,000 acre feet in the reservoir until a time it's needed, or it could extend the season out for everybody in the valley. So we view this as not just something because it's really up to the Pioneer Irrigation District, you know, when and how they want to take that 5,000 acre feet that's not having to come out of the river or the reservoirs anymore. So we see it as an opportunity for them to manage it differently, to extend the seasons out. And it helps everybody in the valley because they're all using these canal systems. So this Phyllis Canal runs, it gets diverted through the Boise River over by Star Eagle area, goes through NAPA, goes through Caldwell, and ends up in Greenleaf. So it's quite a few people that use that system.
Okay, thank you.
So one final question from me, there may be others. Who would be responsible for testing the phosphorus levels? Would that be the Pioneer Irrigation District, or would it be NAPA, the city of NAPA?
Yeah, the city of NAPA will be testing the effluent both to Indian Creek and to Pioneer.
Okay. All right, any other questions before we move on to the next project? I'm not seeing any.
So. Okay. Thank you. So I'll move through these a little bit quicker. I know we're up against a little bit of time here. So there's two other projects. This one is very much connected to the reuse pipeline project. Tom mentioned that part of our permit, our recycled water permit, said that we can't discharge to the waters of the U.S. So this helps us to satisfy that requirement. And so IDEQ issued a reuse permit in 2020. If part of that we can't discharge to the waters of the U.S., this project eliminates operational spills to the Moses Drain and gets into the weeds here a little bit. But ultimately, that Moses Drain went to the waters of the U.S. So this project diverts water from going into the Moses Drain, and it's needed as a component of the reuse system. And then we anticipate this being completed by 2025 also. So this is a picture. It is about 3/4 of a mile of gravity, 18-inch pipe. It flows from the 15-knot lateral and is diverts to the Highline Canal. The cost estimate for this is $1.456 million, and we're requesting $500,000 from the Idaho Water Resource Board on this particular project. This was a couple of options on the design. One was an actual pump station that prevented or pump back option from the Moses Drain, which was much more expensive, and operationally we would have had long-term costs with it. So this gravity line is much less on the maintenance side, and the operation side, and the annual cost for it. So we felt like we came up with it, even though the cost is high, it was a reasonable solution to the need for our permit. So stand for any questions with this before I move on to the third project.
Any questions? So I guess I have one question here. Is the $500,000, will this project be a fixed asset for the city of Nampa or for Pioneer Irrigation District?
Yeah, can you repeat your question?
Will this, when this improvement is done, will this become a fixed asset for the city of Nampa or for Pioneer Irrigation District? Whose asset will this be?
Yeah, thank you. So it is it's a benefit for the city. It's also a benefit in regulating flows for Pioneer. So we will have an MOU with Pioneer, and the city will ultimately be responsible to maintain this. But okay. I think it's still it's still there is a beneficial use also to the Pioneer Irrigation District.
Okay, thank you for that. Any other questions?
Madam Chair.
Board Member Barker.
The cost of this, guys, is not part of your $180 million. This is not part of the original consideration of the project?
No, this is outside of the $180 million. We kept it as a project outside of that because we could do it at a lower cost, and it really could be separated from the larger project.
So that means no Davis Bacon, right?
Correct, sir.
Madam Chairman, this is Mark.
Yes, Board Member Gibbs.
Thank you. This is a one-time $500,000. Am I correct there?
Yes, Board Member, this is a one-time request.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay.
And the last project. So we have a pressure irrigation system that runs throughout the city, and the Copper River storage pond and pump station improvements is a way that we improve the resiliency and the capacity of our system. So the project itself includes constructing a storage pond and a pump station. This will provide irrigation storage for drought and peak use periods. So when it gets hot and off peak use, it'll fill up, and then we can pump as much as 5,000 gallons per minute out of the pond during those peak use times to offset those spikes, those peaks in our system use. curves. And again, the pond is located in South Nampa, and it's property that we need to purchase. It's a property that's considered for development right now. So the project benefits, this reduced waste, 34% of our water is wasted to drains. Of course, a lot of that is used downstream and it's utilized, but we just want to be more efficient with the water that we have, the surface water that we have into the system. It definitely improves service during droughts, mitigates impacts to potable water system. That area, we actually supplement our system with potable water. And then it reduces future supply needs. If you get in, 5,000 gallons per minute is a couple of wells or larger, wells and pump stations. We did receive a letter of support from Nampa Meridian Irrigation District, and we have a very good relationship with both Nampa Meridian and Pioneer Irrigation. So the design consideration for this project assumes that three acre feet of storage is needed. We'll construct a pump station on the north side of this pond as shown in the exhibit. The pond will again supply 5,000 gallons per minute for bursts while we need it in the peak hour. And then construction will be completed by 2025 to 2026. The cost for this is $5.5 million, and that does include property in there and the pump station. We are requesting $2.5 million on this portion. And again, this is one of the ponds. We will need additional storage within the system to make our overall system more consistent and resilient. But on the south side of town, this is an important project for us to increase capacity. And I-84 runs right through Nampa. North and south zones are completely separate. So this is on our south zone in the city. So I'll stand for questions on this, but before I do that, I just want to summarize Nampa's project request. Looks like we're pretty close to time or a little bit over. So the first one was the wastewater reuse pipeline. The total cost for that portion was $24 million, and then we were requesting $3 million. The Pioneer Irrigation Improvements was $1.4 million. We're requesting $500,000. And then that final project, the Copper River Irrigation Storage, is $5.5 million. We're requesting $2.5 million for a total of $6 million. And I will, and Tom, we will stand for questions on any one of the projects or anything else. So thank you to the board.
Any questions?
Madam Chair, this is Dean Stevenson.
Yes, Board Member.
Question I have, was this pond you're building, is it going to be a lined pond? You're going to line it? This 5 acre pond or however many acre feet it was going to be?
So we have other ponds planned, including this one, and we did put into the estimate a liner.
Okay, does that answer your question, Board Member Stevenson?
Yes, thank you.
Madam Chairman, this is Mark. I'm not sure I heard the answer, whether that did include a liner or did not.
Yes, sir, board members, it does include, they will be lined. This pond will be lined.
Thank you.
I assume that you did not put in for the Bureau of Reclamation's Water Smart Small Storage grant because you're not an irrigation district. Is that a correct assumption?
Madam Chair, members of the board. So actually we did put in on the Water Smart grant. So I mentioned in the beginning, we have three irrigation districts. We've got Nampa Meridian, we've got Pioneer, and then Boise Kena. We want to build a pond in all three of the irrigation systems plumbing. So we did apply for a grant in Pioneers, and we applied for one in Boise Kena. We got notified we did not get that one, but that we got a feedback that if we just describe more what the benefit is regionally, on how this helps with water storage, we will be in better shape on our application. It was a little, we're a little too engineering on our first attempt, in other words.
Okay. Well, that's certainly encouraging. Any other questions from members of the Finance Committee? Board Member Van Stone, did you have a question?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Any questions from members of other board members?
Madam Chair, Brian here. I don't really have a question. I just, I think this is a very good idea. I think all cities, as they're going into, you know, pressurized irrigation water, demands are so crazy, fluctuation in with residential customers that really a good idea to be able to take up that, you know, meet the peaks and store the valleys on this demand system. So I hope other cities are really watching what you're doing there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, board member, for your comments. We appreciate that. We definitely have been getting the word out.
And with that, are all of your points of diversion metered?
Madam Chair, board members, no. We are very proud of our pressurized irrigation system, but unfortunately, when we first put it in, it did not have meters on it. And we're talking about putting the yokes and new developments now. So if we ever do, are able to afford to put in meters, then we could. I heard that there was a city in East Idaho that invested in meters, but they're a much smaller city. So for us to do it now, we're talking, I think we estimated like $40 million in investment in meters. So on the irrigation side. So we'll contemplate how to take that one bite at a time.
Okay. Any other questions? I am not seeing any. So thank you, gentlemen, for your presentations today. I asked if you could limit each presentation, each one of these projects to 30 minutes. And I apologize for being misunderstood, but I do appreciate the timeliness of your presentation.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. Again, we really appreciate the time and look forward to chatting with you later and some of your meetings.
All right.
Thank you. Since you got an extra hour, you might spend it with the chair about putting meters on her system.
We have meters on our system.
I didn't know you do.
That's good.
That is good.
Yeah, it is a spendy project, no doubt. Okay, so then our next Finance Committee meeting is July 12th, and at that meeting we will discuss how we intend to prioritize these projects and fund them now that we've heard all of them, and make a recommendation to the full board, which meets July 20th in Moscow. And with that, I'd turn it back over to Brian Patton. Is there anything we're missing?
Nope, not missing anything, Madam Chair. You're at other items that board members may have.
Do any of the board members have any other items they'd like to bring before the Finance Committee? I'm not hearing any. So with that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
This is Jeff. I'll make that motion.
Okay. Been moved and I haven't
second. Asked.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, we are adjourned. See you on the 12th of July.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Okay.